preaching. I expect I will. I'm preaching in the book of Nehemiah. If you want to find that, it's in the Old Testament. You have 2 Chronicles, Ezra, then Nehemiah, Esther, and Job. I'm going to get to that, but it's not going to be in 4 or 5 minutes. And so, but if you'd like to find the book of Nehemiah, you're welcome to do so. Since I knew where we were going, I have a ribbon, okay, that I marked it with. And of course, a lot of you, now some of you newer folks might not be aware of it, but your Bible comes usually with 2 ribbons. And what you can do is if you open that Bible up, of course, there's space here, okay, like where I'm sticking my finger. See that? There's space. You can take an extra ribbon and put about 1 inch of it in there, and a shot of glue. Actually, you don't need a shot of glue. You can just coat that inch or so of ribbon with glue and then stick it down in there, okay? If it doesn't want to go down, then you use a popsicle stick to get it down there. And then you got extra ribbons. I have 5 ribbons in mine, okay? And I know Brother Dale, he did that with one of his Bibles, because 2 is not usually enough. So I know where Nehemiah is. It's at ribbon 2. Okay? So, but that's why I told you where it's at, so you can find it. Now, with all of that important stuff out of the way, I have several mission, 1-4 mission communications, letters, but not all letters. And I felt it would be a benefit to share what I am with you. Byron Cromwell, who was in Africa, is now either home or coming home soon. He's going to be doing another. He lists himself as an itinerant ministry. He travels to wherever he's needed, stays there as long as he's needed, and then comes back to his home church, gets into his base and finds where the Lord would have him go next. Now, because of what I'm going to refer to about, this is a letter from his sending agency. And because of what I'm going to refer to, I'm not going to identify that agency. But they service 46 missionaries. Now, that makes them a small agency. Now, small is not the same as meaningless or unimportant, right? But there are some mission agencies out there that service 900 to 1,000. One mission agency serving 900 plus missionaries. That's what you call a huge mission ministry. And then there's most underneath that, at varying levels. But nevertheless, 46 missionaries they serve, 9 of them are in sensitive countries, okay? And on this list of missionaries, the name is withheld for security purposes. But they have 3 different missionaries that serve in Russia, designated sections of Russia. They have another one that serves in Bible translation. You say, well, why do you have to withhold the name on that? Well, it depends on what language and country they're translating it for. Then we got Serbia, Ukraine, Central Asia, 2 different missionaries, 3 missionaries in Central Asia, and another one in Ukraine. So you see, there are missionaries today. Now, there have always been countries hard to get into, or countries where if a missionary got in there on like a work visa, and they were just carried on a personal testimony for Jesus, okay? They were there to bear witness for Christ, but they couldn't get in as a missionary, so they didn't go in as a missionary. They went as a worker, an electrician or whatever. And But things have so intensified with the anti-Christian sentiments around the world that here is a small agency, 46 missionaries on this list, and they have the name withheld for, actually, I see another one there, 10 of them. Oh, well, I can even figure that out, okay? 10 out of 46 makes it what percentage? I thought I could figure it out. I can't. Who can tell me? 10 out of 46. What?
About a third.
About a third. All right. So that's a high number for a small agency. But that's what missionaries, and I say our missionaries, none that we may know, none that we may support, but hey, aren't we Christians?
Yes, sir.
And they're out serving Christ. And so all of these missionaries we need to identify with. And so there's one thing. Now, I got another letter here from a specific missionary working in Russia, whose name shall remain anonymous for obvious reasons. He states in the letter that we humans, believers and unbelievers alike, need a refining fire so we can learn Christ-like humility. And this refining fire helps to produce in us that humility. Now, several sentences prior to what I just read, he goes into explanation of refining fires. But I read it for this paragraph. The challenging effects of refining fires. Due to wave after wave of drafting into the army. Now, what country did I say I'm speaking from?
Russia.
Russia, right. Due to wave after wave of drafting into the army, some churches in our area completely collapsed. Some men ended up on the front lines. Some died there. Yet some left the country fleeing the mobilization, that's what it's called when they were drafted, or is called in Russia. Now, four solid families from our midst have left the country for good. Many men, heads of families, are remaining in other countries while their families are still with us. Two of the lonely wives are going through deep emotional crisis. You see, this is why I say, save the prayer letters that we give you. Take a highlighter pen and mark them in one manner or another so you know what to pray. Somebody, a Christian who says, I don't know how to pray for 10 minutes. Listen up. I'm about to teach you how to pray for more than 10 minutes and how to say more than God bless the missionaries. It's pathetic when you know and you hear of a Christian who's been saved for 15, 20 years or more and they're still praying, God bless the missionaries. That is a Christian who has not grown. Getting quiet in here. I don't hope there's that many that are in that category. Because if that's the case, I'm going to change my message tonight. But if you take your prayer letters that we give you, instead of throwing them in the trash, I'm not accusing anybody of doing that. Well, I guess if the shoe fits, isn't that what the old saying is? In this case, I keep this letter and I'll pray. And I don't mean that I'll pray daily for each one of these requests in each letter. You have responsibilities in the home, same as I do. And though we need to pray more than 10 minutes, I realize that doesn't mean we can take 10 hours each day and pray. But here's a case where two lonely wives are going through deep emotional crisis. Listen, If we had two ladies in our church, for whatever reason, going through deep emotional crisis, would you pray for them?
Yes, Mom.
I expect you would. And here's a case where two sisters who live in another country are going through that. And the man writes that what he did was suggest to the husbands who were in another country to avoid that mobilization. And listen, it's not just these few that we're reading about. There is an unbelievable number of men in Russia who are leaving the country because they differ with what is taking place in Putin's war. Okay? And they're leaving it. We're just reading of some that are personally known by someone that I know. And so he suggested they come home while there was a pause in the mobilization, and they did, came home, took care of their family, and were able to leave before the next wave of mobilization took place. And then he says, please pray for a certain man and his family. One of the children in the family is an invalid needing continual physical assistance. That family plans to permanently leave so they can give that assistance. See, we can't identify with that. As much change that is taking place in these United States of America, we still have freedoms that people in other countries are fleeing their countries and in danger of their own life, endeavoring to come to live in this country. So we can't identify with what it's like to have to leave where you live, leave your house, leave your family, the extended family, to take your family and go somewhere else. It's hard to identify with it. I know it, I believe it, but I've never felt it. Now, the positive effects of this refining fire, even though several of our precious families have left, the Lord is bringing in new unbelievers. The ones who during many years have stayed indifferent toward the gospel, amid this special operation, it's another buzz term that Putin is using. Amid this special operation, not only believers, but also unbelievers testify how for the first time they are learning to live literally one day at a time. And that humbles, making some unbelievers' hearts more receptive to the gospel and teaching the believers a more Christ-like humility. I would not know that that sort of thing is going on if I had not read this letter. And you will not know some of the things that the missionaries who we support and who we are involved with, you would not know what's going on in their lives when they share some of the hardships and difficulties, except you read the letters. Can you imagine having some serious difficulty, physical problem with either yourself or maybe one of your children? Can you imagine that? And writing to some of your relatives and asking them to pray because of what little Susie or Billy is going through. only to learn that they didn't even read your letter. It would sadden you, as I'm sure it does, missionaries who send out 200, 300, 800 letters to churches. It is a compliment to Black Creek Baptist Church when missionaries have come, and not every one of them, but those that have come and people have interacted with them, and then the missionary was able to leave here with the understanding that at least those people, and it may have only been two or three, but they asked them about this matter, or they talked with them about another matter, and the missionary realized they're reading our letter. Now, like I say, it may have only been two or three that interacted on that knowing, knowledgeable level, but it was enough to impress those missionaries. The goal isn't to impress, but it is to let them know that we care about their ministry and we're reading their letters. You want to be a blessing to a missionary? I don't earn a lot of money. Keep your money. Well, give it when you ought to, but read their letters. And then when they come, knowing they're coming, keep the letters. Oh my God, keep the letters. Don't throw them away. And when we announce so-and-so's coming, go back into your shoebox or your file folder or wherever you keep them and find those letters and read the last couple of them and what they've said. And then when they come 2 weeks or 2 months later, you can go up to Mr. Smith and say, Brother Smith, sounds spiritual when you say brother, you know, mister. Brother Smith, you mentioned in your March letter about having trouble with your car. Has that been taken care of? And then he'll respond with whatever. Or anything that God touched your heart about Mr. Smith's ministry. You see, these things just don't happen automatically. They don't just happen to come up. Even people who are very knowledgeable about these kind of needs with missionaries, even they have to read it. They have to pay attention in order to know it. Now, true, some people just seemed more adept in gleaning out those kind of things, granted. But they have to read them. Challenge you. I am challenging you. Keep these prayer letters we give to you. And next time a missionary is announced to be coming, or there's times when we'll have a missionary traveling through, and we're not on their regular mailing list, but they send a letter to Pastor. Pastor will give it to me or give me a copy of it. There's times when I know we've had sufficient time, we will reproduce them and give them out to you. In 3 weeks, Jim Smith is coming to here to Black Creek Baptist. And he's coming to minister to us about his work in Uganda. He'll be here for the morning service. We give you that letter so you can read it. Maybe get excited about who's coming. Take that letter and read it looking for something to ask him. In this case, what I just illustrated to you, you don't even have to save all the letters, though I hope you do. But you can just look at that one letter and you can go up to him. You say, well, there's always so many people around the missionary, I never get a chance. Just wait. It's worth a wait. And talk to him. This, my friend, is how a church is able to be identified as a mission-hearted church. Now, it's good to be a mission-minded church, but it's additionally good to be a mission-hearted church, a church that cares. If you don't believe me, back there sit two missionaries, Dale and Amy. They get into a lot of churches. I don't know how much they have experienced people coming up to them and expressing something that they've had in one of their letters. Not every church that has a big mission board, they've got a map with missionaries surrounding it. I don't know how many of them even make available the prayer letters to their people. It's a disgrace. And it's on the heads of the pastors. It's that man's responsibility, unless he has designated overseeing missions to another individual. It's on his head to see that those missionaries that surround his neatly made board. Impressive. Yeah, a lot of good it does. People don't know. You see, folks, not every church photocopies the prayer letters of the missionaries that they support. Not every church makes them available. Oh, I was at one church and it was really neat. It had a long hall. And on both walls, both sides of the hall, they had a picture of their missionary, and they had a nifty little pocket there where the missionary's most recent letter was in. Again, it looks good, but it is not functional. That particular church where I first saw that had 25 or 30 missionaries. Now, pray tell, how many of those church people are going to stand there and read and comprehend or maybe take notes about letter one and then move to the next one, letter two, and then move. They aren't going to do that, but it looks good. And it makes us identify as a missionary-oriented church. Listen, we're not here for orientation. We're here as servants of God Almighty in heaven. And when he sends some of his servants out to the uttermost parts of the earth, then it's our duty, our opportunity to pray for them, to know about what they're doing. And I understand one person can really only comprehend with any extent of detail a limited number of missionaries. A church that has 45, 50 missionaries, any given person sitting in a pew is not going to be able to be knowingly and intimately involved with all of those missionaries, but they can pick out four or five. And they can pray for and interact with and know about those. We live in such a day, except for people that are in sensitive countries and countries where you cannot email to. Most countries, you can email. You can email the missionary. Couldn't that? You used to have to go to the post office, buy a foreign letter, write it out, seal it up, and send it in the mail, and that just didn't happen. But as often as some of you are on Facebook, as often as some of you email back and forth with others, why don't you add missionaries to that list? You can email missionaries. We give you letters. They usually have their email address on them. How about you email some of that? That's what we're here for. We're here to serve. We're not here to sit and get fat. that's hard to say when you have Sunday dinners like we do, but we're here to serve. You know, if this is coming across stern, I don't mean it to be. I'm really trying to encourage you. You say, well, ain't much encouragement. Well, I'll try and make it sweeter next time. You know what? You aren't going to respond anymore when it's sweet than you do when it's sour. Okay, that's two. I'm not going to get to the message tonight. We'll go to Nehemiah next week. Okay. Let's test the waters. I'm not going to have a show of hands. I'd love to have a show of hands, but I truly do not want to embarrass anybody. Randy, go over there and Golden Land Missions, a bunch of colorful pictures on it. Bring me that packet of missionary letters, laying on the table, near the front of the table. Yeah, there you go. Bring them up here. I didn't count these before, but I picked them up to feel them. There weren't a whole lot taken. And this is the part I'd like to know, but I honestly don't. I really do have a kind heart. I don't want to embarrass people, but I'd like to ask you how many of you took one of these letters. Judging by what I can feel, you see, gamblers, they can pick up a deck of cards and a preacher can pick up a pack of prayer letters, and he knows. God Almighty, help us. One thing that you would have read if you had gotten one of these letters, and if you did get it, then you probably read it. Brother Bob DeWitt says, in the very place where Adoniram Judson was jailed and tortured for 11 months, where despite his suffering, he translated the scripture into the Burman language, we distributed our gospel booklets and saw people saved. Those who turned to Christ then took armfuls of our booklets and handed them out in the village and nearby monastery. Now, it was in 1824 when Adoniram Judson translated the Bible into the Burma language. Next year, it'll be 200 years ago. And yet, you can read in this about the monk in a Buddhist temple who was given a booklet, and I quote, I served the temple all my life and I never heard this before. Why did no one tell me about Jesus? Now, he hasn't lived for 200 years. But for 200 years, Adoniram Judson, 200 years ago, Adoniram Judson labored and ministered. And now, this Buddhist monk got saved. You know why it might not be quite as exciting? Might not be quite as exciting because it happened over there. I would hope that if the Roman Catholic priest in our community got born again and began to tell people about new life in Jesus Christ the way the Bible teaches it, I can only imagine that when you heard that, you'd come to church and Jody, did you hear that Father so-and-so down there in the Cuba Catholic Church, he got saved. And Jody would Dustin, did you hear the father down there, the priest, he got saved. You see, that's here where we live. We can identify with that because we live here. But it isn't any more important. And when Brother DeWitt comes, as he has been here and he has preached, ...60,000 booklets were distributed on this trip alone. The first trip that he was able to be there for 2 months in the last 2 years. He goes on and he writes, an old and withered woman sitting in the doorway of her bamboo hut reached for a booklet and was so excited to receive it. The images and incense of her idolatrous worship, the place where she prayed to evil spirits, were visible behind her. Yet reading every word of the scripture, she believed and received Jesus as her personal Savior. We have some similar situations, one of which I'll not refer to because of being on live streaming, but one which takes place by one of the people of this church. And though it would not be the incense and the images, there would be, by virtue of what pictures are hanging on the wall and what CDs are laying around, that you'd begin to understand who was being worshipped here in the United States of America in a home that one of our people was ministering. Brother DeWitt says, we intend to print 4 million booklets. He said, we want to translate into Buddhist languages, Chinese, Thai, Laotian, Cambodian, Nepali. They want to get this booklet out all over the place. Now, if you get this letter, whatever touches your heart, if you don't have it, go buy a highlighter and then highlight the things that touch your heart. And wherever it is that you lay things that you pray for, whether it's in the front of your Bible, whether it's on a particular table, whatever your system is, put this letter with it. And then every so often, you have to determine how often you pull out that letter and you see the highlighted things and you pray for it again. We don't have a huge mission family, but I dare say if you were to take each of the prayer letters we pass out to you, as well as some of those that you can optionally request to be given to you according to what missionaries truly God puts on your heart, if you were to take them, I venture to say you could probably pray for one missionary a week, and over the course of the month have prayed for every one of our missionaries. Now, I haven't counted to come up with those numbers, but I can't be too far off. Well, let me end with something a little more on a positive note. You didn't think I knew how to be positive, did you? Sunday School took on a missionary to replace the Filers, Trent and Brittany Filer. They are ministering. He's pastoring now out in Montana. I think I shared that with you on Sunday. And their picture is posted on the bulletin board there if you'd like to look at it. And we ended up through a process that I use and I know can be laborious and cumbersome, but we wanted it to be your Sunday School missionary. I could have picked one, okay? It might have been the one you liked. But for some, it wouldn't have been one that you'd like. And I want it to be, it's your Sunday school. And you're giving to the Sunday school. And therefore, I wanted it to be a servant that you want to support. Well, we ended up, you ended up choosing the McVeighs. Recall that time? And yesterday, he wrote this email to me. We received the quarterly support from the Sunday school and would like to pass a thank you on to the Sunday school classes at Black Creek Baptist Church. And it wasn't long afterward, I got another email from him, and it says the check was for $225. And we just returned from the grocery store where we spent $219. Then he wrote, no coincidence. They pray for God to supply. This time, God used you to supply that need. And just like you pray for God to supply needs that you have. I long ago learned to try not to expect where God's supply is going to come from. I confess, when there's a need, I can conjure up in my mind places that I think he might meet that with because of what he's done before. Probably I can say without fail, that's not where he provides it from. But praise God, he provides it. Well, like I said, we're going to have to go to Nehemiah next week. You want a prayer request regarding next week's message? Pray I don't get too many prayer letters that catch my attention. But we're going to go to prayer groups, okay? I'll take prayer requests. Again, because we pray each week, many times for the same thing, it doesn't make those same things unimportant.